Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thanks for joining us. Hope your weekend's starting off well. May the 16th, 2026. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, Mr. Scott Wolmering, and I'm Ryan O'Neill with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. Top of the morning to you there, Scott, young man.
Yep, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in on this beautiful Saturday. It's hard to be inside doing the show when it's this nice outside. Hopefully you're getting out to play a little golf or start cleaning the yard up, getting ready for summer, because I think we're on the other side of this. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. 612-294-694 is how you can join. 6949 is how you can join us. We love your comments and feedback. That's actually what makes the show. So any questions that you have, don't be shy. 612-294-6949, or you can text us there, or you can just put your information in any of the social media networks and ask your question there.
Yeah, again, first segment of the show, we always like to do a real estate update and a mortgage update as well. Interesting, we had a text come in that just said, would you guys rather have a huge garage or a huge kitchen? A huge garage or a huge kitchen? What do you think, Scott?
Would I personally?
Yeah.
Well, what I personally would rather have...
The texter didn't say.
Yes. Personally, I would rather have a large kitchen. I'm going to be in the minority because I'm male, but yeah, I would personally. I'm not much of a big car guy, so I would much rather have a kitchen. And I would think if you were to poll the majority of homeowners, women, it would be probably 95% that would want the kitchen, and maybe about that same for men.
Brad, you want the kitchen or the garage?
Definitely the garage. And I'd be out there creating a little system to put all the boxes up and a lever system. And yeah, garage, definitely.
Hey, Rye, how about you, bud? What do you think?
I'd have to go with garage.
The garage?
Yeah, well, you know, as long as I got the oven, microwave, and the fridge, and the kitchen, what more do you need? A sink, maybe?
And I will tell you, if you think it's not a thing, very, very early in my career, I listed a little split level.
Okay.
Little split level in Farmington. I'll never forget it. And it had a 6-car garage attached to it. The garage looked bigger than the house did.
No way.
It looked ridiculous, frankly. And I had like 15 offers on that house.
Really?
Oh my God. People that had snowmobiles and boats were just in love with it. Guys were killing for that house. So it is definitely a thing. But in an overall market, more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Kitchen is one of those, kitchen, master bedroom, family room on the main. Those are kind of your main deals.
Hey, first segment, we do like to do a real estate update. New listings in the Twin Cities are up. There's 10% more homes that came on the market this past week, comparing year over year. 1,855 new properties. Pending sales up slightly. 3.5% more pendings. 1,197 new listings came on. And then the inventory is up still about 8% year over year. 9,815 homes for sale in the Twin Cities metro area. And then the days on market, average number of days between when a property is listed and when an offer is accepted in a given month. Right now, it is at 63 days, and that's an increase of 7% year over year, Scott. We talked last week a little bit, very market specific, price ranges, type of property, neighborhoods, interesting times out there.
It is, you know, and we kind of poo-poo this because 9,800 homes is still a very, very aggressive seller's market. You know, if you've listened to the show for the last 20 years, you realize that about 18,000, 19,000 homes is balanced. But I'll tell you what, 9,800 homes in May isn't 5,500 homes in May, which we had a couple of years ago. So the difference in that is instead of competing against two or three homes, you're now competing maybe against 20 homes. In some markets, depending on your price range, maybe 30 homes. That's a difference. I've seen more and more price reductions and emails to me, Scott, what's going on with the market? I can't get this one sold. We've reduced it twice. That's what's happening out there. So, yes, it's a very, very good market. But I'll tell you what, it is so price conscious. Everything has a sweet spot. And if you're not there, you'll find out that you're struggling. And a lot of people are.
This question says, is the formal dining room dead?
Yes.
You think it is?
Officially, it's dead.
No.
Yes, it is.
I would say no.
It is 100% dead.
Scott.
I did new construction between 2012 and 2016. 57 teardowns in Minneapolis. Nobody wants a dining room.
A formal dining?
No one wants a formal dining room. They're going to a main floor office, which is also even going away a little bit. Definitely the great rooms, definitely the bigger kitchen, maybe a little nook area where you can have your office, but formal dining rooms, like my dad used to say, those are tits on a boar hog. They're not worth anything anymore.
Brad, do you have a formal dining at all, Brad, or no?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No. Nope. And you know what? The funny thing is, when the wife and I were walking through the house that we bought, she's like walking through the whole thing, and I said, the garage looked good. We're good to go. But she's walking through and, oh, I'd put my office here and do all that kind of stuff. And yeah, you're absolutely right. We did not want a formal dining room.
Hey, maybe I'm an old traditionalist. I love the formal dining because I think you
want to stick a piano in there. No one's. When's the last time anybody listening has sat down outside of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and maybe a birthday where you've sat into your dining room table with 12 people and had a formal dinner?
I'll tell you, though, it does, and I can thank my dear mother for this. So many good memories of the times in the formal dining room that maybe, not used frequently, but just a lot of good memories. Hey, we're up against the first break already. You're welcome to ask us questions. On any topic, I'm sure Scott will comment. 612-294-6949. We appreciate you joining us here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Every show, we do like to feature a number of our listings. And I wanted to give a shout out because I've seen this listing, and it's a very nice one. Laura Antolik has this one listed, Scott. It is in Farmington. It is 21902 Denton Avenue for $329,900. It is like brand new. It's a 2023 built end unit townhome. It's got a modern design, high end finishes, very bright, open layout, lots of natural light, stylish kitchen, quartz countertops, stainless steel appliances, the farmhouse sink, a large center island, and then very spacious bedrooms, three bathrooms. And it's got a versatile loft, perfect for a home office, home gym, or another family gathering area. You got a patio off the dining room for outdoor entertaining, and an oversized, there you go, two-car garage, a very quiet neighborhood and community. It's close to historic downtown Farmington, walking trails and parks. Quick close as possible, Laura says. It's a gem. Reach out to Laura again. This is 21902 Denton Avenue in Farmington. You know that one, Scott. $329,900. Laura's an awesome agent. Every year she makes our top producer team trip.
She is, and it is a very nice townhome. We'll talk about what makes townhomes sell better than other ones when we come back.
Yeah, again, thanks for joining us here on the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Right after the first segment, we always like to do our Minute of Hope for the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. This week, our friend Julius unfortunately suffered two back-to-back strokes, which made daily life obviously much more difficult because he lived in the third floor of a building without accessible access. Navigating the stairs was no longer safe for him. He was able to find a new home that better met his needs, but he didn't have the money for the security deposit. We were grateful, thanks to you all, as donors to the O'Neill Foundation to help him make this necessary move so he could live in a safer, more stable environment. Each week, we work to help 3 to 4 local families experiencing significant, unexpected hardships. These are good people. They're working. They're doing their best. But unfortunately, life, as we know, can cause us all some problems. But thank you to our donors, and Julius, we're sending you lots of love here. A hopeful note, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for everybody listening every week, you know, I say this, if you are a generous person and you're looking for a charity to put your dough, this is definitely one that you can see, feel, and actually meet the people, see what's happening to them, and they're local that are being helped. It's just awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us. This one says, "Hello, real estate team. We have a house in our neighborhood, our HOA actually, that hasn't sold for 9 months. It's priced at $739, and we think the owners need to reduce the price. Do you agree? Thanks for listening, first of all." Scott, your thoughts?
100%. There's one reason that a house isn't selling. Nine months is a long time. If you've had 10 showings on it and you don't have an offer or multiple offers, you're overpriced.
Period. Or if you get no showings at all.
Correct. If you're not getting any showings in this market, that means that people are going, they're looking at it, and they're not even interested in going to see. It's not even in their range. So when you stick out, I'll give an example. I won't name the house, but it was a house in Lakeville. And the house was worth about $750, and the seller wanted to go on at $900, and I just said, we're not going to get anything, and he was adamant, and of course he's the boss, so eventually we went on at $900. We were on for 6 months. We did not have one showing. It was the only listing I've ever had that was like that, and what he used to say was, "Why won't somebody just write?" And I kept trying to explain to him, because you're not a 900 house, so anybody searching for a 900 house wants to buy a 900 house. That means it's going to have X amount of square footage. It's going to have X amount of acreage. It's going to have all these criteria. You have none of that. So it's not that somebody couldn't write an offer. They don't want to write an offer. They want to buy a $900,000 house. That's what they're looking for, and you are a $750 house.
Yeah, we had another texter that says, is the interest rate on a purchase mortgage different than a refinance? On Monday, CBS was quoting higher rates for refinancing than purchasing. It is different. Obviously, Scott, we are not in the mortgage business, but generally speaking, the risk profile can be different. You know, when you're refinancing, are you doing, a cash out versus a rate term
which means,
refinance?
Which means that you're actually physically taking cash out of your home, elevating the price, taking money out.
Yeah, the refinance loans can stay on the books shorter. Sometimes depending upon government investor policies, again, as you mentioned, the cash out refinance risk, et cetera. So they are different. It is different. It depends if you're adding more debt, if it's a second mortgage, and what's your loan to value on the property. And, Mike Overson, he does a nice job helping people through that.
Yeah. I mean, let's use this as an example. Let's say you have a house that's worth $500,000 that's paid off and you want to put a small mortgage on it. You want to put $100,000 on your mortgage. Your rate's going to be the same as if you were buying something new, because there's no risk in that. It's a $500,000 value. You're taking a $100,000 mortgage on it, so you can call it a refinance if you want. There's not going to be a big difference there, if any, versus the house is worth $500,000, you owe $400,000 on it, and you want to take $50,000 out of it. Well, now you're pushing that debt to income or that value ratio, and then you're going to have a difference.
This one's interesting. Is carpet dead? Is carpet dead? Ryan, what do you think? Is carpet dead?
Not to me, but the other person who lives in my house definitely thinks it is.
It is? Okay, tell me more.
Well, some people find it to be unsanitary. I seem to disagree. I find it more comfortable on my toes, and with the hardwood, you get the dust bunnies. Don't get that with carpet. You just got to vacuum.
Yeah, what do you think, Scott?
Carpet is dead in bathrooms and has been forever. So if you have carpet in your bathrooms, get rid of the carpet in the bathrooms. Your friends are making fun of you, so don't do that.
Scott!
And I will say that hardwood floors, depending on where they're at. So, for example, if you go into the Minneapolis area, Edina area, and so on, remodeling a two-story where you do hardwood floors on the main, actually all the way through the upstairs, is a very cool feature. You move that out into the suburbs, and it is not something that the majority of people are totally thrilled about. Putting hardwood floors in a basement. Basements are already cool. You put hardwood floors in the basement. Now you've got cement to hardwood floors. That makes it more cool. Typically not what the majority of people love.
I love carpet in bathrooms.
I'm sure you do. Right next to your right next to your dining room with all the dust in it.
Brad, what do you think on carpet, bud? Do you think it's carpet dead?
I was just going to say, I think a lot of it for me is traffic in the home. So I'd want to put a good quality wood product where there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And the carpet gets all, as Ryan was saying, all the oils and all that kind of stuff. And you do the diehard thing and curl your toes in it. And that, I think less carpet is probably in, yes.
Yeah, so we were, again, Brad Sanford is our insurance guru. He is a partner with us here with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Wonderful guy, outstanding organization. Brad, we've been talking a lot about just the insurance world and what's going on for real estate agents, brokers, especially those that have been doing this a long time. Insurance is now a significant issue that agents talk about. They need to learn, understand. What are you seeing? You've been in this industry a long time. Maybe talk about what's new in your world in relation to real estate, too.
Yeah, we really become more relevant in the transaction. As you heard me years ago, I would always say on the show that I'm the last person you think of. You think of the realtor, the mortgage, the title, and all that, but you think of the insurance guy last because that's one of the last things that comes on your mind. But right now, because of what's been happening with all of the storms and finances and all of that, insurance has really been in the forefront because a lot of carriers are, as Scott just said, they're assessing their risk. Just like a mortgage person does in their loan, they assess it with what they're insuring. And so some carriers are backing out of certain risks that they don't want, and they're taking a break from it. And other carriers are getting into it and taking up that space. But now what I'm seeing is a lot of the big boys coming back into that space, slowly taking in the risk that they want, not all of it, and moving on those.
So. And you got to pay for it. Whenever there's all risk means is it costs you more. When there's risk on something, you end up having to pay more for it. So insurance costs are going up. I just had a gentleman that's closing on Monday call me yesterday, and the original bid they had used was double. They have an unusual system with I won't get into it. There's an unusual septic and well system on this on these properties, and the insurance company didn't like it. And so they ended up kind of whacking them for the difference.
And I just did a quote this week. One of them was for a young couple. And the company that they have, it was just a bare bones, right? They'd never explained to them why they should have a sewer and drain coverage. They never explained to them why they should have additional coverages that take care of the property and what could happen, like marring if you have hail and you have metal windows or, you know, gutters and that stuff. If you don't have that coverage, some carriers will not replace that because that's not something that they are putting into the package. So, yeah, it's you really got to, I think as an insurance agent today, you really got to know your stuff, and you really have to walk through everything with the client and make sure that they make the choice. Don't you make the choice, right? Don't say, well, they have a brand new home, so they probably don't want sewer and drain, right? They might.
So I'm getting texts saying, Scott, you're wrong. I have carpet in my bathroom. We've loved it. I am so glad you love it. I am not wrong. As far as resale, get rid of the carpet. But if you live there and you enjoy carpet in your bathroom, just curl your toes up in it and have fun. I'm not telling you to get rid of it. I'm just telling you, when you sell the home, other people don't want to curl their toes where you're curling your toes.
Another interesting comment just said, guys, before the break, quick, most underrated Twin Cities suburb. Most underrated Twin Cities suburb. That's kind of an interesting question. Most underrated suburb. Ryan, do you have a most underrated suburb?
The first that comes to mind is Hopkins.
Tell me more.
They just, they got that nice downtown. They got a decent bar scene. I mean, there's good restaurants. There's a lot happening there.
That was my immediate thought. The two that came to mind right away was Hopkins and Richfield.
Yeah.
That's Edina, right? I mean, one block over, you're in Edina. You know, when you go to Hopkins, one block over, you're in Edina. And Edina blows up. But man, I'll tell you what, Richfield especially is just kind of doesn't get the love that it should, and it's literally right in the same spot.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting you say that because Hopkins, that really nice downtown.
Oh, it's a cool downtown.
And again, from a price standpoint, it's amazing. Having lived in Bloomington for, 20 plus years now, you take something in one suburb and move it to another suburb, and you're like, well, why is it 1.5 times more in that suburb? And so it's interesting. Again, there's a lot of factors. Your agent, a good agent, should be helping you look at school district, resale value, demand, On MLS, we have something called InfoSparks, which shows you average market time. It's a ton of data. And what it can help you as a seller is to see what's going on. So, for example, in a certain neighborhood, price point, community, type of home, is anything selling? Or is anything not selling? You know, then it's not necessarily your agent's fault. If you're not getting any showings and the average market time is 90 days and nothing's moving, you know, it's important to relay that data to sellers, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, Edina, you know, for Edina and YZ, I would say, are probably the two most market proof cities that we have. I mean, when the crash happened 20 years ago, and let's call it 2007 through 2010, we dropped about 48% in value across the Twin Cities. Edina dropped 12%. You know, I mean, so yeah, it took a little bit of a haircut, but not like the rest. I mean, you didn't have a 50% loss on your property. But yeah, I always think of Hopkins, and I think of Richfield, because they're basically the same. You know, you have the same drive. You have this. You've got the same going to the airport. It's all cool. They just don't get the love Edina does.
Hey, right before the break, I just wanted to give a shout out. We have a longtime listener who reached out, Lowell, who is a wonderful gentleman, wonderful family, and Lindsay Coy on our team just listed his property in Lakeville, 8258 169th Street West in Lakeville. It's for $449,000. $449,900. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath, 3-car garage, 4-level split. It's got an updated kitchen, bath, stainless steel appliances, features a beautiful white cabinetry, a heated oversized garage, concrete driveway, and the front yard has a beautifully landscaped pond. The backyard backs up to a nature preserve. Very meticulously maintained by Lowell, and we're doing an open house today, Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1. Lindsay Coy has that listed, 8258 169th Street West in Lakeville. Thank you, Lowell, for listening to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We are grateful for you. Beautiful. Sounds like a beautiful property indeed. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We do appreciate you joining us. Fong Cao with the Minnesota Real Estate Team has a new one, Scott, in Minneapolis, 217 Bank Street Southeast, listed for $799. It has a custom gourmet kitchen, great location, walkability, extensively updated throughout. It's 2 beds, 3-bath layout with a sunlit loft. It's got a luxurious master retreat, private outdoor living space. $799 for that one, 217 Bank Street Southeast. And then Jen Tischlitter has one in Chaska, 623 Satori Way for $355. This was a recent price improvement. It is a Chaska townhome. It's in a great location, close to shopping, parks, schools, major highways, 2 large bedrooms with both an ensuite bathrooms, laundry on the upper level. There is no carpet in those.
I have no doubt with Jennifer. I guarantee there's no carpet.
But there is fresh paint and new carpet in other locations throughout the house. 2,200 finished square feet, attached 2-car garage. Shows like brand new. Be sure to check that out. 623 Satori Way. Sounds like a nice one, Scott.
That's a nice one. Very good. And Jennifer is an incredibly good agent. She'll get it done.
Yeah, she is a great agent. Been talking to Brad Sanford, Farmers Insurance. Brad, what do you got for us?
You know, you guys, I'm a North Suburban guy. You guys didn't represent North Suburban area. I got to say Shoreview and Blaine, I think, are pretty good places to live, too.
Tell us why.
You know, the Blaine, you've got the previous mayor did not want all kinds of big restaurants and things like that in there. But the new mayor is allowing them to come in. So that's become into its own, and it's growing very rapidly. And then Shoreview is a great area off of the highway, not really close, but set back in.
Yeah. Hey, Brad, I had another comment. Says, hey, thanks for responding to our text. It's fun to participate in the show. The texter said the owners of this particular property have reduced the price from $750 to $739. However, they've had at least 20 showings and not a single offer. So we think they probably need a new agent as well. Thanks again. This was fun. What do you think about that, Scott?
Okay, so first of all, $750 to $730 is
$739.
$739 is an irrelevant price reduction. And what I mean by that is nobody cares about the $10,000. $750 to $739, that doesn't bring in anybody new. So unless you're hitting a new criteria, a new group, I'm not a big price reducer. the only time I will reduce the price is if I'm hitting a new search criteria. And what that means is you're at 750. Okay, 725 would be a very, very, very small group, but maybe a couple, meaning that those there's a group of people out there that are searching up to 725 with the hope of staying at 7. The real block is 700. You're going to find out, I don't know the exact percentage, but let's call it 25% more people are going to see the house at 700 than they are at 750 and or 739. And so that is the only price reduction that's going to make sense. And then people will say, oh, but I don't want to take 700. That's too low. Well, if it's worth 700, you're going to get more than 700. It's obviously not worth 739. It's not.
What's hard in this market, too, I would say maybe 400,000 and under. If you if the property is listed right now, it's 400,000 and under. I'm a big believer you cannot underprice the home in this market.
Impossible.
And what we mean by that is that there is enough buyer demand with still historically lower inventory. There's enough demand that's going to bring the value of your property through multiple offers to what it should be. And we see that commonly, agents with all the different companies and brokers. You see that commonly where let's say it's a 330 property. If it's listed at 300,
behold, you're going to get more than 330.
Yeah, you're going to get 2, 3, 4, 6 offers to bring it to that. And what's hard, again, with that search criteria, Brad, maybe you don't think about it a lot, but again, everybody's on Zillow. They're on EdinaRealty.com, Remax.com, ColdwellBanker.com. They're searching, and they're searching by criteria. So if you're at 339.9, you're losing people looking up to 325 or 300 for that matter.
300 and a dollar, it's like 38% of your buyers. So think about that. That means that that's another 15 showings. That's another 5 offers on your property. There's no way in the world you're going to be able to keep that thing under 330 if that's what it's worth. And people will say, well, what if somebody gives me 300? Well, I got to tell you, if you reduce it to 300 and you only get one offer and it's 300, your house is only worth 300.
Yeah.
Period.
Brad?
And, you know, as a layman buying homes, I've only bought 3 in my life. The people that are looking to buy a home, you walk in trying to justify buying it because we all want to buy a home, right? That's why we're looking. And so we look for, as you said, you know, the things that are there. If there's carpet in the bathroom, well, maybe I don't want it, right? Or what's the price? Can I take it out and do whatever? Those types of things. But we all walk into a home trying to justify it. And then we look to our realtor to say, 739? Really? Is that? Should we be paying that and that kind of a thing? So I think that working in tandem and understanding that the people looking want to buy it, if they're not buying it, there's a reason.
That's
absolutely
right.
Brad, what else should folks be aware of insurance-wise? You are a longtime partner with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Do a wonderful job. What else should people be thinking of?
Well, Ryan, if you want to close your eyes with me and just imagine Scott standing in front of the mirror in his bathroom, curling his toes
in the carpet,
and he hears like a gurgling sound or something like that. You want to check other drains, and if you have multiple sounds like that, you want to make sure you get your sewer and your drains checked to see what's clogging it up. You know, your water quality has something to do with it, and if it's an older home, you know, you definitely want to check your pipes. And what I've been telling people is March and April, once the snow is off, make sure you're checking your roof, making sure everything's okay, nothing, and your gutters, the water's going to be pushed away. April and May, have somebody check your deck, make sure that there's no boards that are, you know, snapping or breaking or things like that, because we're above the frost line, so there's extremes on every side. And you know, May and June is to check your sewer and drain pipes. We have coverage that covers you from the edge of the house to the street because you're responsible for them. And if a tree root is growing through those, it's going to break up your sewer. Even if it just pushes it a little bit, it's going to start backing it up and pushing the stuff around. And so if you don't have sewer and drain coverage, you're going to be cleaning that up and paying for it yourself. And there's
couple different types of coverage. You can have basic or you can have extended. So basic is just cleaning up the mess and getting it taken care of, cutting the sheetrock up and doing that kind of a thing. The extended goes into your Schedule C, where now all your personal property, you know, the cabinet that's there, you know, boxes that are sitting there with stuff in them, clothes in them, that kind of thing, it all gets replaced.
I'll tell you, as a small, longtime landlord, I have had so many sewer issues over the years. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And now you see it on purchase agreements with transactions. The sewer inspection is a thing.
Well,
people talk about it. They negotiate it. They have someone come out. It's important to do that as a buyer, just to be aware, especially again with older homes. You know, I mean, I've probably had four or five different times with sewer issues, Scott, over the last 25 years.
What I've seen over the last 5 years, which I've never seen before, is we're starting to get a lot of sewer inspections in the suburbs. I don't get it. Maybe somebody out there listening that's a heck of a lot smarter than me can explain this. So the reason in the cities that you do them is you're dealing with iron pipes and, you know, and from the street that can get roots that cause it to crumble, and it's a big mess. Those are old pipes. But in the suburbs, you're talking with PVC pipe that's four inches wide. So I had one where it was a $48,000 fix to basically, because there was a coupling or a bump in the 180-yard sewer line. And I'm like, who cares? It's a four-inch pipe. You know, nothing's ever going to cause that to get plugged up. And it's a $48,000 fix. And I don't remember if insurance got involved and they had to do it or whatever. But that just didn't make sense to me. We're seeing them all over the time now.
Yeah, we're up against our final break at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We do appreciate you listening every week. Gary Tim has got one in EP, in Eden Prairie, 9892 Pincherry Lane for $459. This is a detached townhome, has sunny porch views, four bedroom, four bath with a bonus room. It's got a bright living room, a fireplace, wood floors, spacious kitchen with an island, new range and stainless steel appliances, an EV charger installed in the garage. Cool. Price reduced recently to $459. It's got a low HOA. That's 9892 Pincherry Lane in Eden Prairie. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We do appreciate you joining us. Jennifer Ritzman has one down in Northfield, 1505 Senate Lane. Scott, you're going to run for the Senate. $269.9. It's a fully renovated two-bed, two-bath, two-car garage. Got 1,500 finished square feet. This one's an N unit. It's a quad unit, fully updated, new flooring, paint, stainless appliances, lighting. It's got a finished lower level. It's plumbed for a third bathroom. Easy to add a third bedroom, Jennifer said. It's still a nice-sized family room. It's ideally located between downtown and the South End shops. Low HOA fees and a quiet neighborhood. She's doing an open right now. Jennifer Ritzman is there, 1505 Senate Lane in Northfield, $269.9 for this one, Scott.
Very nice. Yeah, go see Jennifer. That's a great. I love Northfield.
Yeah,
Northfield's such a cool town.
Yeah, Northfield also underrated. This comment just said, "What's one thing every first time home buyer should absolutely avoid?" One thing a first-time home buyer should avoid?
Boy, there's a lot of things they should avoid. But probably the number one thing that they should avoid is...
Wow, is Scott stumped?
Well,
I
want to say this the right way. So the reason you buy your first house, I call it an equity builder. The reason you're buying your first house is so that when you sell it in 3 years...
Yeah, keep it brief.
You've built equity. What you personally like and what you personally want in your first home isn't necessarily what's going to drive that train. What's going to drive that train is what position are you going to be in 3 years when you sell it?
Yeah, I'd say one thing is just to buy without an agent, or to go directly to the listing agent, just to ensure again that you are buying at a correct value.
Yeah.
Your buyer's agent should be helping you do a market analysis, determine if it's a good value. Because unfortunately, life can happen. You may need to sell sooner than you think, and you don't want to be, you know, pay $300 for a property that's $250, Brad.
And I would say, and I know this is easy to say right now in today's market, but don't, just because you qualify for $450 doesn't mean you have to buy $450.
Good advice,
there are
Dad.
There are a lot of expenses like a lawnmower and a snowblower and all that stuff that you aren't really necessarily planning on that will come up and then we'll
furnace
tighten.
Going out in the middle of winter. Yep. Hey, what's going on? Where's our heat?
Yep, very, very good feedback. You can go up to, think about this, you can go up to about 50% of your debt-to-income ratio to be able to qualify for a house, meaning 50% of what you bring in goes to your home. Now, that's how you qualify, but there's the dad in me, the same with Brad. I would not suggest that. That means that everything you make, 50% of that's going to your house, not much left for anything else.
Had a comment here as well. It says, I don't know if this is a joke, what are the pitfalls, if anything, of building, buying, selling barn dominiums? We talk about barn dominiums a lot. Scott is probably the biggest fan. Maybe secretly he's got some equity stake in some like barn dominium website, Brad, or some barn dominium something.
I like barn dominiums.
Well, yeah, because you have a brain on your shoulder, Brad. barn dominiums are coming. They're coming to Minnesota. They are cool. They're what the 50 and plus older want, which is still quality, smaller space, and don't break the bank in building it. You can't get that building a normal house. You build a slab on grade little townhome, 1,800 square feet, is going to be $600,000. You build that same thing as a barn dominium, you're going to pay $400,000.
And the name of your barn dominium company is?
It's not anything yet, but believe me, they're coming. It's coming hard. Oh, it's already in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Brad Sanford, Farmers Insurance. Want to give a special shout out to a young man that works with you, Marco. What a hardworking, positive, upbeat, kind, just a great asset to your company. You can tell the people that you have working with you, Brad. Marco's a great example of he just represents you and your company so well in the market with our team. Love working with that guy.
He is exceptional. He's picking up on it very well, is excelling. We have Don, who does a great job too, knows a lot of things about home and the construction of home. And then Emily, my oldest, is working for me part-time. So
Emily!
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm training them in the way that I think it should, an insurance agent should act. And I have to say, the first compliment you ever gave me was, this guy answers his phone and he'll call you back. And I thought, well, that's not a ringing endorsement. Why did he say that?
it's a pretty low bar, but I'll tell you what, not many people meet it these days.
And yeah. I'll tell you, you buy like a Pinto and then all of a sudden you see Pintos all over the road, right? I have not heard so many comments about, you're there, you know what the answer is, you always tell me, you're always nice to me, that kind of thing. I guess that's really a big deal. Yeah. And that's what I'm instilling in everybody.
Yeah, we do love working with Brad and his team. Again, any insurance questions at all, insurance needs, I really encourage you to reach out to Brad. Brad, what's the best way for people to catch you, to reach out to you?
Well, you can go to the Minnesota Real Estate Show.com or the team.com, the Facebook page, any of that kind of stuff. You'll see us on there. As he said, we're pretty active and we do post on there. Otherwise, you can reach me at 651-690-2076.
MNRealEstateShow.com. That's how you can find them.
Yeah, I had another comment. Says, is staging worth it? Should we pay to have our house staged? Staging worth it, Scott?
Depending on the house, depending on the area, depending on the price point.
Okay.
Vacant homes do not sell well. They don't show well. People can't visualize the space. They look much smaller than
virtual staging now. There's
virtual
now
staging?
Virtual staging on the pictures. Where
yeah, which will help you at least get showings. But when you're there, a vacant house doesn't sell. With that said, if you are selling a under $500,000 house and you're going to spend $15,000 on staging, I would probably say not to do it. If you're selling a million five house in a neighborhood that you're competing against some new construction possibly, you definitely want to stage it.
Well, and Ryan has to know if his piano fits in that room.
Correct,
right?
Yes. Yep. The piano room with carpet.
Yeah. Scott, would you rather have a heated four-car garage? Would you rather live on a lake or have 20 acres of privacy?
On a lake.
Brad, would you rather live on a lake or have 20 acres of privacy?
On a lake in a barn dominium.
Rye, how about you?
100% lake.
Yep.
Okay. Rye, would you rather buy a fully updated smaller home or a large fixer-upper?
The first one.
I got one.
Yeah.
So I have a 10-acre lot, and my neighbor has a 5-acre lot.
Okay.
Okay. What's the value difference? Let's call it Lakeville Credit River. 10-acre lot versus 5-acre lot. Neither one can be subdivided. So you've got a 10-acre lot and a 5-acre lot. What do you think the value difference is between the 10-acre and the 5-acre is?
Brad, what do you think?
$5.
What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, a little bit more than that. Probably 25, which is very, very – the reason I bring it up, it's very, very hard. If you're a seller, and I know there's sellers out there listening going, oh, my God, how in the world? My extra 5 acres is only worth that? Well, you got to remember, if you can't do anything with it, if you can't subdivide it, if you can't build on it, and you stand on your front porch and you look at 5 acres and you go, wow, this is real pretty – and then I stand on your 10 acres and I go, yeah, this is also real pretty. You can't really tell the difference between the 5-acre and the 10-acre.
It's hard.
The only time you get the extra value is if you can split it off and do something with it.
Yeah, it's hard. That's hard.
Hard conversation to have.
It is a hard conversation. It's been a fun show. Rye, you doing anything fun this weekend there, bud?
No, stopping in Stillwater again and enjoying the weather.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, good for you. We appreciate Ryan Perpich coming in and dealing with us every weekend. Brad, great job there, young man. Well done. We love working with you and your team.
Going to the Twins game tonight. Should be fun.
Twins. Oh, nice.
Scott, anything for you?
I'm going to go golfing with Maggie Jane, our middle daughter, and I've got a little work to do once we get done with the show. I'm heading to the gym, and that's it.
Hey, it's been a fun show. Scott, nice job.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, nice job. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're here to help you with any of your questions, comments, needs throughout the week. The Minnesota Real Estate Team. We're all over Minnesota and western Wisconsin. We'd be honored to help you and your family however we can. There's no rush or pressure from our end. We're here to help. Enjoy this weekend, everybody. Again, thanks for tuning in to WCCO.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.